This is CliffCentral.com.
The brand Nokia's phone division is trying to make a comeback. For years, it dominated the market. In the mid-2000s, at its peak, it controlled 40% of the global mobile phone market share. And then the iPhone-fueled smartphone era emerged, toppling the giant. What role does brand consistency play in sustaining a business versus stifling innovation? Could consistency cripple innovation? On today's show, we will tackle the power of brand consistency and how technology plays a role. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show, the show where we explore the link between human and brand behavior, how people impact brands, and how brands impact people. Brain and brand power. Thanks to everyone from around the world who has subscribed to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and to all other platforms, including Cliff Central. Thank you, Cliff Central, for fueling this show. And I'm genuinely grateful. We got people listening from Saudi Arabia, Japan, throughout Africa, across the Americas, and Europe. And I really appreciate you sharing this with everyone. Today, I have a special guest to help me tackle this subject, Paula Sartini, founder and CEO of Brand Quantum. With over 15 years of experience in the brand agency space, 20 years experience in the business space, has a firm grasp over the relationship between brand consistency and the impact to the brand's bottom line. An award-winning brand leadership thinker. Welcome to the Brain and Brand Show, Paula.
Oh, thank you. Lovely to be here.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming in. I was looking at your personal brand. You seem to be the analytical problem solver. Is this what you want to be known for?
Sure. I think, in the creative space, being an analytical thinker is a little bit of a differentiator. So we have a lot of creative people in marketing and branding, and I think being able to analyze and being analytical is a real plus for any marketer.
I noticed on your site that you're at Brand Quantum, the agency you sort of founded and you're CEO of, that you've got quite a serious group of people. It looks almost like a group of engineers or something. You know, I guess that says a lot about how serious you take this business.
You know, it's fascinating because I had a client in financial services last week, and some of the ladies in the marketing department pulled me aside and they said they just want to ask me some personal questions, and they wanted to know if I'm actually an engineer. And I said, I'm not an engineer. I'm maybe a brand engineer. I'm actually a marketer. But I think in the tech space, marketing and technology has created sort of a very fluid space where engineering, marketing, branding all are coming together. And one needs a little bit of everything in order to succeed.
Yeah, the interdisciplinary approach is becoming real big across a lot of fields. And it's an exciting time. I mean, I have to get this out of the way. With 20 years experience, you must have started when you were in diapers.
Something like that. I actually started my first business when I was 19. And I always tell people that in those days we still had bank managers, and the bank manager actually phoned and wanted to know where these funds were coming from because I was quite young to actually be dealing with some of the bigger corporates. But then I realized that I need a little bit more experience, so I went back into corporate. But I've been an entrepreneur most of my career.
Got it. When you started your business, when you started that 19 year, where were you based?
So I was in Johannesburg. Okay. So I'm originally, my parents are from South America. So okay. I actually speak Spanish.
Okay.
But I was based here up in Joburg. It was still those days when if you had to buy a PC, you could hardly move it. It was so heavy. And if you did, I was doing design work at the time. You sort of would move your mouse and then wait and go make a cup of coffee and then come back.
Got it. Let's get straight into it. You have clients such as MultiChoice, Hollard, Nedbank, Sanlam. Give an example of some of the exciting work you're doing with them.
So I think brand consistency is really what I'm driving from a business point of view. And it's an awareness that we're creating around it, because people are starting to realize that consistency of brand really does affect the bottom line. And consistency doesn't just mean visual consistency. You know, it's also about content consistency, because how you look is as important as what you say and how you say it. So from a process point of view. And so these elements come together to create a picture about a brand. And the visual aspect is no longer, you know, just the key focus from a marketing point of view. From an ops point of view, if a letter goes out to a client and it's badly written and it's not written in the tone of that brand, it impacts that brand. And so operational aspects are becoming really key from a marketing point of view. So the exciting work I'm doing is around helping brands create consistency of how they look, what they say, and what they do, which is no mean feat for any business, no matter what size they are.
At what point in your career did you realize this consistency agenda is going to be critical?
I think very early on, you know, having run the agency, a traditional branding agency for 15 years, it was a major frustration to do beautiful work. And within a couple of days, you know, it just to see it, kind of not destroyed, but just, yeah, it would start falling apart because people would start interpreting. And I always say, you know, people, I think, are just, it's not that they want to do it, but often some people are just visually challenged, perhaps. They can't actually see that they're stretching, squashing, shoving, and doing all those things that people do. And so beautiful work gets diluted. And all the marketing effort from a resource point of view, not only just human power, but money that's spent, is often diluted and wasted because it's just not, the message is not driven through consistently.
Take me back over the last couple of years. How has social media impacted brand consistency?
Well, it's made it so much more of a challenge. And the interesting thing about consistency is that, you know, something's got to be worthwhile before you make it consistent. And that's the real crux of it. So consistency for the sake of consistency doesn't add value. But if you've created, you know, if you're looking to create a really strong brand and you really have put the right elements together, you know, consistency of that obviously is going to help. And it's a little bit of an oxymoron because, you know, how does consistency fit together with creating, you know, a strong dynamic brand? Consistency traditionally you would think is kind of a bit of a boring concept. But if part of the DNA of a brand is to be innovative, then that in itself is something that's worth being consistent about. So consistency is not necessarily just the boring stuff.
Got it. You know, one of the things I'm most impressed about with Brand Quantum is you guys have pioneered a technology that sort of enables, measures, and ultimately drives consistency. It's exciting. You know, is there anyone else in the market with this type of technology?
There isn't. And, you know, I had a client say to me a few months back, and I thought it was, I didn't get the analogy. He said to me, you know, your stuff is like a cell phone. And I said, okay, software, just unpack it for me. And he said, I didn't know I needed it until I saw it.
Wow.
And just yesterday, I had another client that said to me, you know, I've been in the financial services space and I've been looking for something like this for the last 20 years. Where have you been? So I think it's a challenge that everybody has faced. You know, it's so frustrating trying to do stuff that's repetitive. You just want to do your work, and to be able to create documentation and communication easily and quickly is often painful. You know, who wants to sit till 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, making PowerPoint slides look nice when actually you just want to worry about the content?
So were you gallivanting on a beach in South America when this came to you? Where did the idea of this technology come from?
You know, I think I've always been exposed to technology, right? So I always tell people when I was seven, I'm not sure if this is good or bad, but my father brought home one of the first Apple computers, and it came in a massive box. And he didn't have any boys; he only had girls. It was my sister and I, and he's an engineer. And he put this book in front of me and he said, you're going to learn how to code. And I said, really? And he said, yes. And I could have thought of a million other things to do, like playing with Barbie dolls or something else. But he threw some really interesting problems at me, like, you know, for a seven-year-old, why don't you make a little program that says, if it's sunny outside, you know, what will the price of lemonade be? And if it's cold, then, you know, what would the price be? And so I learned basic things like, you know, if X equals whatever, then Y is, you know, sure, another variable. So it started like that. So I think, you know, the exposure to technology obviously instilled a kind of an approach to thinking about problems in a different way.
Got it.
And so I think it's always been there to look at the world a little bit differently. And I've always loved to sort of challenge the traditional way of doing things. You know, I think we often see things being done over and over the same way. And surely there's a better way to do things. And I think that's actually what drives me and what gets me up in the morning is how can we do something, you know, in a different and better way today.
What type of people do you seek to have around you? You know, what complements you?
Oh, so, you know, it's actually all about the people. Even when I ran the agency, you know, success always comes by surrounding yourself with really amazing people. And so I think that it's not about their background from an education point of view, but rather about a passion to want to actually solve problems. So the people I have around me are really good at what they do. I like to think that they're better than me at most things. But they like to push boundaries. So, you know, if someone comes to me, the first thing I look at is, are they passionate about what they believe in? And do they want to find a better way to do things? And I think, if you've got that in place, the rest can be taught.
Let's talk about how consistency could potentially stifle innovation.
Sure. And I think we touched on this a little bit earlier, but, you know, something's got to be worthwhile being consistent about. And so this is such a fine balance that one has to get right. I mean, I've seen lots of marketers work on extensive brand manuals where, you know, the size of the logo is dictated down to, you know, the type of pen that you're going to go on, right? And often these applications are created even before you've even gone to market. So there you've actually put yourself in a corner before you've even started. So it's always an interesting play between getting the positioning of a brand right, and consistency is more about a framework than actually about, you know, being so dictatorial that it doesn't allow for evolution. So brands have to evolve. I mean, they need to evolve, and because they need to remain relevant. So, and you can't have relevance if you're going to be so consistent that your look and feel and what you say is stuck in an era of 10, 15 years ago. So it's about finding that balance and being able to evolve in a way that's meaningful to the marketplace, but still maintaining a framework that makes it easy for people to identify with the brand. And I think that's what it's about. It's how far do you push that you still are innovative, but at the same time that people recognize you, because consistency is about shortcuts as well. I mean, if we talk about branding, that's what it is. You know, it's being able to recognize a brand easily. And so consistency gives you those shortcuts that people know what the brand is about. But the shortcuts have to make sense and have to still create the right perception about the brand. Otherwise, the minute it starts impacting negatively, then obviously consistency is no longer working for you.
It's 6:30 p.m. on a Tuesday. You get a call. You're still working hard. You're probably going to be in the office another 2 hours. It's from Apple. They want you to be on the advisory board. You find out that they ask you to come in. They go, look, we have become extremely consistent since the passing of Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Tim Cook has brought in plenty of systems, and we are consistent, but we're not very innovative. Now, in fact, Samsung is starting to, you know, really challenge us. What would you say to them in the first meeting?
So I would say that they need to go back to the core of what made that brand exciting and put it in the in its place to begin with. I mean, thinking differently about the world is what Apple has always been known for. And so the marketplace doesn't care about, their processes. And, if you say that they've brought in processes and bureaucracy and put systems in place, that's all very well.
But the shareholders do. The shareholders care that they can deliver. I mean, think about during Steve Jobs' era, it would take like a year later before South Africa got the products that America got. But now South Africa is on, the emerging markets are on par with the rest of the world. So the consistency matters to shareholders in terms of growth as well as the consumer.
Yes.
But how do you find that balance?
Well, I think there are a few aspects to it. Obviously, the core, what sits at the core of the brand, mustn't be lost, because that's what created the value in the first place for shareholders, right? So as long as they're continuing to innovate, then, consistency has a place. But innovation has to come before the consistency aspect. And in fact, they have to consistently innovate, because that is what they're about. So it's about saying, okay, consistency of the core, not consistency of just the periphery.
I see.
And the peripheral elements.
Okay.
The other aspect is that obviously, they have there's the business itself, but then there are the products. And products go through various stages of a life cycle. Right. So from an innovation point of view, they'll have products that are in the early stages, and then they'll have products that are in mature phases. So, consistency matters more at different stages. So, a new-to-the-world product, from an innovation point of view, you can get away with less consistency as opposed to a more mature product where consumers come to expect things from the product and the brand. So there are multiple layers here. So it's not just about the business itself and the consistency of that brand, but also about the products and where they are at and where they're in their life cycle.
Do you have a dream client you want to do some work for in SA or anywhere in the world?
Oh, well, I think Apple is a wonderful client. I mean, in fact, it's a great brand to emulate, and it's a great brand to use as a benchmark, for clients. I think Apple's a great brand. I think locally, I love the Woolies brand. I think it's an awesome brand. I think, Charmaine and the team have done an amazing job. And there's a brand that really strives to create consistency.
I see. Interesting. Let's talk about the future of Brand Quantum. What are you guys hoping to do? What are some of the exciting things you hope to pioneer in?
So I think, from a product and an innovation point of view, I think we're just getting started. We reinvented ourselves. In November, we rewrote the product onto a cloud-based platform, and that has just opened up the marketplace for us completely. So we are now fully in the cloud. We run off Azure, and so we can serve any client anywhere around the world. And that's really our aspiration, is to bring consistency, to as many organizations as possible. And whilst our clients have traditionally been, sort of the larger enterprise and particularly financial services clients, consistency actually really helps a smaller brand to really get to play on a level playing field with the bigger guys. So I believe that we can add a lot more value in the SME space. So, over the next few years, we'd like to, obviously, we have global aspirations in terms of taking our products global, but also we want to be able to help SMEs get there faster.
If you were to have a conversation with your 19-year-old self.
Yes.
And you just got off the phone with your bank manager. What would you say to her about this journey that you're on now that, you wish she had known?
So I think, at 19, I doubted, there was a part of me that wanted to really do this, but doubted that I had enough experience. And that's why I went back into the corporate environment, which, I'm grateful for. But I would say to my 19-year-old self to just go for it. It's not about the skill set. It's actually about the dream and actually believing that you can do that. And that has no age limits. So I would say go for it, start early and keep going.
Do you guys do internships at Brand Quantum?
We do, and especially, and it's a mix because it's, as we spoke earlier, it's about the type of people and the talent. So it's not necessarily just design or software development. It's really just about finding the right skill set and people who believe in and are passionate about what we're doing. So very open to internships.
All right. And your website address?
Is www.brandquantum.com.
I'm really grateful. I really appreciate you joining the Brain and Brand Show for a lot of reasons, but mostly because, you know, I love chatting to people who are passionate and good at what they do, and I can hear that you're really, really good at what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Timothy. It's been absolutely great being on the show. I've really, really enjoyed it, and I am passionate about brands, and I hope we'll get to chat again some more soon.
And good luck with Think Apple. I think you've heard her. It's quite clear. She should be on your advisory board, so... Please share this link with the show with your friends and your colleagues and anyone who wants to elevate their brain and brand power. You can email me directly, TimothyMaurice@gmail.com, or you can go to my website, www.timothymaurice.com, and use all the formal emails. If you want to book me to have a conversation with you about the people in your organization or about your brand, you can email bookings@timothymaurice.com. Join us next week for next episode of the Brain and Brand Show.
This is CliffCentral.com.